Possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Programs on WILL are made possible in part by a grant from Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, a gallery of imaginative jewelry and gifts in downtown Champaign, offering one-of-a-kind custom design, gemstone round tables, and conflict-free diamonds direct from Canada.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Glad you could be with us today. On the program this afternoon, our monthly show about computers. We take up the topic each month on the third Thursday of the month. Today, I invite your questions about computers for Peter Kimball of the University of Illinois. Peter's the Education Program Coordinator and lead faculty trainer for the university's Technology Consortium, Fast 3. If you've got a question, a comment, or a concern about computers, give us a call. If you're listening in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call, use the toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL, 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Peter, good afternoon. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
No one waiting at the moment? Where should we start?
Well, this seems to be a never-ending battle, but I was just teaching a couple of workshops earlier this week, and somebody came up afterwards and said, well, you know, I have a cable modem, and when I first got it, it was running really fast. It was much, much faster than my dial-up speed was. But lately, it seems that it's even slower than dial-up was. And he was wondering if there was something wrong with his computer or wrong with his settings. And that could have been the case, and I haven't heard back from him after I made the suggestion. But what most likely is the case is there are a number of programs that were inadvertently downloaded. Maybe they came along with nice, handy little web utilities like toolbars and such, and they are busy using his internet connection to report back home about his surfing habits, possibly, although this isn't as likely, to send out spam emails to others. And so it's a never-ending story about dealing with security and keeping your machine safe and keeping your machine working for you and not for some hacker or spammer.
So essentially what might have happened is his computer has been hijacked?
Well, or at least partially hijacked. Not very ethical practice, of course, but then spammers and such have not been known for their high level of ethics. Here's a way this might possibly work. A lot of it is under the category of what's either called spyware or adware, software that spies on you or software that pops up ads for you. Perhaps adware is the most obvious example of this. If somebody has been surfing the web for some time, especially if they've been maintaining a active internet connection, such as with a cable modem or with another high-speed connection, a high-speed telephone line of some sort, and they have perhaps found a handy little program that offers them a wonderful little searching toolbar or a nice little utility. Now, some of these are very innocent in what they pretend to be, but or what they claim to be. Some of them are also programs that, while they started out well-intentioned, the developer, who can't very well live on giving things away free, has come into an arrangement or an agreement with some commercial company that would like to present ads. So at the very end of that little license agreement that nobody ever reads to the very end, it might say, and such a software will be installed. Now, what that software will start doing typically, in its more benign cases, is periodically popping up little ads that are you have no idea why they're popping up. You didn't really go to a site that was known to you as popping up ads. Or in some cases, it can even pop up ads when you're not even an Internet Explorer. And so that kind of communication back and forth, it has to be sending that information. And so it's now like you're sharing your internet connection speed with this other user, which is really just this ad generating program. Some of them go so far as to even, to the phrase is often used, to hijack your browser settings so that when you type in a search and you want to go to a search site, instead of getting to Google, you get to some other search site, which is probably relatively lame, but it's also laden with ads. Some of the spyware that can easily be installed as well takes this to a slightly more nefarious extreme. It may not only pop up ads, but what it could do is if you visit a site, for example, about brain surgery, there is a little record made of that by one of the ads on that page, and then you later on visit a site about heart surgery, and this same advertising company is dealing with them, and now they have a record that, you know, you're dealing with brain surgery, with heart surgery, and you'll start seeing ads and perhaps even spam email with medical equipment and long-term health insurance plans and that sort of thing.
Interesting. So what is the solution? Is to get the spy bot going?
Well, the solution is twofold. Try to prevent any of this from getting onto your machine, and that's about a threefold process. One is make sure your Windows, if you're using Windows, Windows is not really more vulnerable to this, but inherently, but because there's so many Windows machines out there, there's a much greater population to infect. So keep that updated. Whatever virus software you have, keep that updated. And when friendly little sites say, click here to download this little utility, or would you like me to be your new homepage? Just say no.
Okay. And I noticed that yesterday I had a message from Microsoft that there were window updates. So, and they must have been pretty important ones. I don't know, but I did update them.
Yes, Microsoft has. You should be okay. There was, for most Windows 2000 and Windows XP users, a group of five or even six critical updates. Many of them are batched together. Now, Microsoft doesn't really wait until, you know, the first of the month or the 15th of the month or something, but several of these happen to come together, and Microsoft sends out a notice. It's possible to set your computer, if it's a recent Windows machine, to automatically download and put those updates in, to, or at least to notify you. And also, this should just be part of standard routine computing practice. On almost every version of Windows Start taskbar, there's a little menu choice up there that says Windows Update. That will take you to the Microsoft site, which will check and see if there's anything you're needing.
Okay, very good. Let's talk with a listener on the toll-free line, line 4. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. I really appreciate this. I have a networking question. I'm going to be helping somebody who has a small business run network lines, and we have an area that it looks like it's going to be approaching 325 to 340 feet, and I got a suggestion to get Cat 6 cable. And I know that I think the upper limit is around 300 and something feet, and we're not running a lot of data, but I'm wondering if you had any input on realistically how far you can go over sort of the limit of the cable before you start to get a significant loss in the data transmission.
I don't have any specific figures for the Category 6, or so-called Cat 6. As networking speeds have increased, the demands on the kind of wire and the quality of manufacture and some of the electrical characteristics have changed as well. And so it's gone from Category 3, Category 4 was kind of a test, so it went to what's called Category 5. And the limit you speak of, about 100 meters or 300 feet, is pretty much the maximum for Category 5 cable. Can you go longer than that? Probably. There's no real way to know precisely until you try it. Cat 6 cable, as far as I would assume, is going to tend to give you a little bit more distance. Cat 6 was designed to transmit at higher speeds, which means it's going to have less loss and less degradation of the signal, which should translate into going a little bit further. The other possibility would be you simply have, since it's a fairly small network, you simply have another router or repeater, relatively inexpensive device there that can give you another range of 300 or so feet out from that point. There is a limit. You can't keep hopscotching these things together. There's a limit of how many hops a signal can take from one machine to the other or from one repeater to another, but that would be a way of getting around this distance limit.
So the router, then, that's different than just a switch, then? I would be
I believe the terms are, yes, a router is different than a switch, although the term router is often used these days to mean any kind of a device that you plug multiple computers into.
Right.
But it essentially you could think of it as re-strengthening the signal and sending out a new, fresh, clean signal. So that's typically what a switch would do. That's typically what a router would do as well. But there's very little difference these days in the cost. I don't do a lot of networking at that distance. At the university, we're fairly fortunate in having a whole team of people who deal with a lot of those larger range issues.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Sure. Good luck. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and this afternoon, our monthly show about computers. We take up the topic each month on the third Thursday of the month. Peter Kimball of the University of Illinois is with us this afternoon. Questions about computers? Give us a call, 333-9455, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. No one waiting at the moment.
That's amazing. Well, there is a couple of other things. There are a couple of other things, just to continue our earlier conversation. Mm-hmm. Though I didn't have a direct answer for this fellow who came up to me a couple of days ago and said his connection was very slow because I haven't seen him since. The same sort of thing happened with a friend of mine who has a 14-year-old son who is downloading nothing particularly nefarious looking, but does a lot of surfing of various sites. And my friend told me that they typically would only be able to surf for 15 or 20 minutes before things would get so slow that they had to shut the machine off and start it over. And not only that, their regular browser, Internet Explorer, didn't work very well anymore. It wouldn't seem to go to the right sites, and so they had to use this alternative browser that had come with their DSL service. We ran the SpyBot and Adware combination and found something on the vicinity of 150 items that it recognized as busy doing things they should not be done. We cleared almost all of them out. Some of them are very sneaky and are resistant to change. They have helper programs that keep an eye out, and if the original program is deleted, the helper program reinstalls it under a different name. So there are some really nasty cases there, but it made a tremendous difference. They could, again, use their main browser, and they didn't have to shut down the machine after every 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener. Caller on line one. Hi.
Am I line one?
You are.
Hi, I have Adware installed. I had had a problem with spyware, and I just do surfing around to, you know, news and entertainment websites, that sort of thing. And I would commonly run it about once a day and often get 20 or more items, whatever they're called. But in the past week, I've only gotten one or two items returned each time it's run, and I've updated the definitions. So do you think something is weird? My surfing habits haven't really changed.
Probably not. I'm glad to mention that you have updated the definitions because a lot of people will install this software, whether it's SpyBot or Adware, or even virus protection. And if you don't update the definitions so it knows about the latest threats, they rapidly become very ineffective. But you said you've done that. Many of the items that were being brought up were probably Adware will detect things like what are called tracking cookies, mm-hmm. little bits of information left. Now, not all cookies are bad. Cookies get kind of a bum rap. Some of them are pretty good. You know, peanut butter and chocolate chip come to mind. But but on the computer, some of them are actually allowing a site to recognize that you've been to that site before. So you go back to Yahoo and it says, well, hello, Mary, or hello, Joe. Some of them are used a little bit less ethically. It could be that a couple of things could happen. You need to make sure that Adware is running properly, and as you go through it, it does look like it's running. Some of these programs actually look for and disable Adware now, but if you're able to run it, that should be safe. I would also try loading, because no problem catches everything, and I would download another free program called SpyBot, Search and Destroy, and run it perhaps once a week as well, because it's likely to catch some things that Adware doesn't catch, and Adware catches some things that SpyBot doesn't catch. And if both of them agree that you're in pretty good shape, then you just may not be visiting one of the more pernicious sites that has been putting this stuff on your machine. And there's another possibility, and that is some of this Adware, some of the malicious software will actually go out onto the internet and download all of their cousins and such, so they'll all be running on your machine. So you start with one bad program, and that bad program can bring down 3 or 4 or 5 or 15 of its friends, in essence. And so once you get rid of the main one, you may no longer have that continual cycle of all of these extra programs being brought in. So that could be another reason. I wouldn't feel concerned that it's not working, but I would download SpyBot. It's, again, free, and run it just for a little peace of mind and to see what it catches at AdAware doesn't.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, next we go to a listener on line 4, the toll-free line. Good afternoon. I can hear somebody there. Oh, I think we lost them. Maybe they will call back. Line 2, good afternoon.
Thank you very much. A question. I've had problems with a laptop. I've got freezing up every once in a while. I mean, no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm working on something or not, seems to be almost related to something to do with time. But I have SpyBot installed, and one of the things that I've found will certainly cause it to, or it seems to cause it to freeze up, is just trying to run SpyBot. And it goes to differing amounts of time before it stops running. But I was wondering if just the simple fact of that being consistently causing some freeze suggests anything to you as a cause or a remedy.
When it freezes, it's just completely no mouse, no screen.
No nothing.
Does the screen?
Even the screen clock stops running, and control alternate delete does nothing whatsoever. The only thing I can do is shut it down and restart it. And even then, and I don't know what could possibly do this, but it seems to be almost related to temperature. The reason I say that is because if I shut it off and try to start it up right away, it won't even boot completely. But if I just leave it alone and come back in a half an hour or three quarters or whatever, it'll start up again on the first try.
Well, that does suggest that you actually have a problem with the... Don't get too concerned when I say it's a problem with the hardware, because it's not a very significant one, probably. As the internal components of a computer heat up with use, as they all do, to a surprisingly high temperature sometimes, there's a little bit of expansion, and of course there's contraction when it cools off. And if one of the chips, especially a freeze like that could be caused by one of the memory chips, was not completely seated or was a little bit loose in its socket so that it became slightly loose or there was a faulty contact, but only when it's warm, that could cause things to freeze up and to just lock in place. I had a laptop at one point that was exhibiting the similar sort of thing, and it was indeed a memory chip that was simply, I thought at first that it was a memory chip that was failing, but it was just not properly seated or firmly enough seated. So that's very suggestive in terms of the temperature, and wait a while and it seems to get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily memory chip, it could be almost any component. And it could simply be that when you run SpyBot, it is going to end up using part of the memory that is in this area that is not able to be accessed when the chip is not making good connection. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would take a look at. You'll also probably want to run, to make sure nothing else is going there, do a full scan with whatever antivirus software you're using, making sure that you've got the updated definitions.
Yeah.
And as I suggested to the last caller, if you're using SpyBot, download AdAware too. It's also free. And actually, I believe that WILL now has a link on their afternoon magazine page to a page that I just put together listing for those who would like to get these programs, which are for the most part free, SpyBot, AdAware, a firewall program. There are many, but one that's free for the download is Zone Alarm. And all of that should be available on a link from the WILL page, or you could go directly to my little page of those links. It's simply at fast3.uiuc.edu/safety.
Okay.
But you want to add AdAware and SpyBot. I try both. I try antivirus program.
I've got add subtract is another. It sounds similar, and I'm not sure whether it's good.
I'm not. There are many. It's just that AdAware and SpyBot are two of the very commonly recommended ones.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your suggestions.
Good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call. And I'm given the thumbs up that the link is on our webpage now.
We are linked.
So WILL.UIUC.EDU, and then click on the afternoon magazine and you'll find it.
Great.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller on line 3. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Actually, I was just going to mention, I had tried getting a copy of SpyBot a couple months ago. There was a whole bunch of lookalikes out there. So for people who are not real savvy with this, go to the link off of the WILL page. because there's a whole bunch of spy bot, and I suspect a lot of them are actually at sneaky adware.
I would suspect you're right, yes.
I don't know what it is, but there was a lot of it. This was a couple months ago. Now, it may be that a lot of this has gone away. This stuff changes so quickly, but I would be, I mean, Adware and Spybot are both Spybot Search and Destroy, I must point out. That's
yes.
the name of it, because there's a bunch of stuff, other things called Spybot Other Stuff, and I don't remember all the names.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kept, I remember searching for it, and I was like, well, wait a minute here.
You know? Yes, too many Spybots.
Totally different.
And
So I would be very careful even downloading those things, because there's all sorts of sneaky, nasty people out there who want to get your computer, and they will do pretty much anything they can in order to get their way in. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else I was going to mention that I've encountered recently, but that was the only one I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. I don't know, thanks for the call, because I know... I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, there's an older computer in one of the studios, and I'm suddenly getting all this junk on it, and I wanted to clean it up. And so I did that. I Googled just Spybot, and I came up with all this junk, and I thought, well, I'm going to have a precise address here. I'm not fooling around with this. So I didn't do anything, but I've yet to get that up running.
Well, and that's why, because the links that that the WILL Afternoon Magazine links to, I checked them before I got here, and it goes to the official home of Spybot Search and Destroy and the official home of Adware, which is a company called Lavasoft. But yes, from the early days of the Internet, there have been lookalike addresses. Mistype one letter and you go to an entirely different site, which has always been a problem, and I don't know that there's any nearby solution other than just being very careful.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk with a listener. Caller on the toll-free line, line 4. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead.
I have two computers. One's used for a business, and we use the highest level of the zone alarm on it. But on the second one we just got recently, a nice compact deal, it came with the professional XP, the home edition. On the other one, we have the professional.
Yes.
And I'm not the savvy person. I just spend the money. But my wife is gone, but we've noticed lately that it takes a long time for the newest one, one with the home edition of the XP, to shut down. And my wife says, we probably have got some programs we don't need, but I don't know enough about the programs. She showed me a list she brought up off of XP. And, you know, it filled the entire page, and it may have been more for all I know. And she says, I can't take a chance to get rid of one. We might end up harming our situation right now. So we're waiting for a savvy fella and a family to come back from school and to sort of look it over and to see what programs could be gotten rid of. And I was just, since you've been talking about that, I just wondered if this makes sense. And my second question is, how can these outfits give you free stuff? Like Spybot, and I know Zone Alarm has a freebie if you want it, but we don't go that route. But where do they make their money?
Well, the Spybot also has professional products that they sell. And so that's where much of that money is made. There is, on some of these sites, I can't quite visualize it now. I don't believe Spybot is one, but some of them actually have some advertising on their own individual sites for related products that they approve of. If you read some of the information on Adware's site, it's also a company that has some commercial products as well, a company called Lavasoft. And so I think it's a combination. I think it's, for the most part, kind of an enlightened self-interest. They're going to get a lot of penetration by making these useful products free, but there are more things that you could do with their professional, usually at a modest price, and they may have some high-end business tools as well.
I see.
A lot of people wondered at one point how Google made their money, because how could they offer this tremendous service? Well, it turns out that Google is making money hand over fist because of the advertising, which they do in a very straightforward, upright, and nobody really objects to it way.
Yeah. I just don't look to the top or the side
you know,
and go on my way. And then the first question about the large number of programs, is there any way for example, somebody like me who punches the keys and looks at the screen and that's about it, or is it you have to go into it deeper to see if some of the programs that are established in the computer need to be, you know, taken care of, or you should leave this one and get rid of that one.
Well, there are a number of places, and I'm wondering if I can find quickly. I may not be able to. There are sites where you can actually go and type in the name of a program from that list, and they're kind of database sites, and they'll say, oh, this program is necessary for your computer to talk to the printer, for example, so you don't get rid of that. Or this one is, you know, notorious spyware, or this one is notorious adware. And I may be able to. It's certainly not on there now, but I can probably find an address of that location and put it on the same page that we were just speaking about.
That you were just talking about.
That we were just talking about. It won't be there before, you know, probably before tomorrow. But there are such sites. I presume the big list that she's showing you might come from the list of processes rather than applications, which is a huge list. But many of them are things that certainly your wife is correct. Windows simply needs some of those running.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, but she told me not to do anything.
Yes. And the fact that it's taking a long time to shut down is somewhat indicative that there might be a problem with software that you don't want there. But what I would suggest is certainly run SpyBot and or Adware on it and see if it finds anything that's there and get rid of what you may wish. That's relatively safe. The only cautionary note with programs like Adware and SpyBot is if they identify some spyware or some adware, it may be something that came down with the program you want. One that's notorious, I won't say notorious, one that is well known for that is a handy little program called WeatherBug, which gives you a little report of the weather and such. It has a free version and a $20 a year version.
Mm-hmm.
The free version is supported by some of this ad software that SpyBot will recognize, but if you remove it, your WeatherBug is going to stop working too.
Wouldn't worry about that at all, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to NOAA anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, in general, I would try both SpyBot and Adware.
Okay.
Make sure you've done a run with the virus protection software.
Yeah, we do
full
that
scan.
Regularly.
Good.
Yeah. We update everything we've got, you know.
The next step is I would run through with the updated versions of spyware, SpyBot and Adware.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Good luck. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Peter Kimball of the University of Illinois is our guest this afternoon. This is our monthly program about computers. We call it Computers and You. It's a topic we take up each month on the third Thursday of the month. Peter, by the way, is the Education Program Coordinator and Lead Faculty Trainer for the University's Technology Consortium, FAST 3. If you've got a question about computers, give us a call. If you're listening in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, if it would be a long-distance call, use the toll-free number 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Well, let's talk with another listener. Caller on line one. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to add a program to your list for dealing with adware and spyware.
Sure.
I'm wondering, Peter, if you've heard of Spyware Blaster.
The name is familiar. I am not directly familiar with the program itself.
Okay, it's another free program, but what it does is it prevents spyware and adware from being added to your computer. So in conjunction with SpyBot and adware, makes a great triple threat.
Sure, because if you
can knock down your spyware and adware problem, so not quite zero, but close to it.
Yeah, and that would be, of course, both SpyBot and Adware are designed to solve the problem once you've already got a problem, and what you're referring to would help prevent it.
Exactly, and this program has, like the other two, has frequent definition updates as well. So
sure, any program of that sort is going to have to do that, and people are going to have to use those updates for them to really be effective.
Right. Well, I recommend checking it out for yourself or anyone else. And if people can't find the software sites to download these programs, a couple of good download sites, apart from download.com, would be Snapfile and Softpedia and maybe NoNags, all.com.
Okay, we'll see if we can get some of these. Certainly the Spyware Blaster we'll check out, and along with the identification of unknown processes program, see if we can get them added to that site.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Next, we talk with a listener waiting for us on line two. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I've got a question that has to do with the computer's clock. And what's happening is that this doesn't happen all the time. It happens if I have the computer left on into the evening. The clock seems to slow down, like, significantly. I'm not sure what might be causing that. I've got updated virus software. I've got SpyBot. Everything looks pretty clean, but it only happens if I leave the computer on into the evening, and it might be as much as 10 minutes in a day.
Now, you say it only happens in the evening. That presumably that could mean that when it's been on for quite some time, including on into the evening.
Right.
So presumably if you got up at 3 a.m. and started it and ran it until noon, you might notice the same thing by the time you've had it on for 8 or 9 hours.
Okay.
And one of the most common causes for that, of course, the odd thing is that just when your PC is off, when PC is on. So if it had been losing time, especially when the PC is off, I would suggest that it might be the battery that's built in to keep time and date and such when the system is turned off. And there are some software that can interrupt. Are you, which version of Windows are you running?
It's Windows 98.
Okay. Windows 98 is going to have a more of a potential problem with that than either Windows 2000 or Windows XP would. Mm-hmm. And so it could well be that some other software that's running is simply stealing cycles that the clock expects to get and the clock isn't updating as often. What you could do and see if any of these seem to ring a bell is do a Google search. I just did one, but I've got too many pages to figure out which one it is. But the term I did was simply PC, clock, and slow. And I got a whole bunch of suggested sites to figure out what might be going on. But if, check the battery. Check, of course.
I replaced the battery. It's
okay.
Not bad.
So, and it didn't really sound like it because it's happening while the computer is on. So it's probably a software interaction. There's some. It's not malicious, most likely, but there is some software that is perhaps running in the background that is stealing a few seconds of time from the clock periodically, or when the clock wants to update itself. And I would take a look just at some of those suggested sites there.
It seems, it might be what you were suggesting, that it's been on all day, but I can notice sometimes when I'm here in the evening working on the computer that it just seems slow. It seems like it doesn't want to do things as quickly as it might otherwise.
Oh, so you're noticing actually slow responses and such, which is another indication of that there's some software process going on. That is not only slowing you down, but it's not giving the full amount of time for the clock to update itself.
Right. Wouldn't you see that if you did the Control-Alt-Delete or use something like End It All?
You might possibly. I would also, it sounds like broken record or a mantra, I would also download both SpyBot and Adware.
Right. Yeah.
And see if they find anything, because there could be a lot of things running in the background that you're not necessarily going to see.
Right. Well, I've got SpyBot, and
okay.
I'm trying to download Adware at this very moment.
And make sure that when you get them, you update them immediately, and then run them and see if they find anything.
Right.
And then I will have, I'll see if I can get, as I said on the website, a program that lists, or that you can inquire about other software processes that are running. But you're not going to get as much information about what's going on in Windows 98 as you do in the more recent version of Windows.
Right. Okay.
Okay, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Next, we talk with a listener on line 3. Hello.
Hi, how you doing? I recently upgraded to system 10.3 for the Apple.
Yes.
And I'm really familiar with system 9 and below that. And I tried zapping the PRAM, and when it rebooted, I get this. It looks like it's Unix code. It says it's like a /etc/master.password, not a directory. Says that twice. The third line says sh colon, looks like a space, /etc/profile, not a directory. And then it's sh-2.05b and then pound sign, and it's just not, it's after that, there's nothing. And it looks like it's waiting for input.
Well, you're exactly right about it looking like Unix, because Macintosh's OS X is all based on a Unix-type Linux, what's called Linux kernel. So behind the OS X Macintosh operating system is Linux. And so what's happening is, for whatever reason, when you flash the PROM, I'm not quite sure, because I haven't done this on my own. I've got a Macintosh on the side, but it's not the one that I use most commonly. And somehow it is the instructions for that Mac to go ahead and load the Macintosh OS X software, which runs on top of the Unix kernel, has been either reset or damaged or wiped out. It should not be a major difficulty. What you might want to try doing does it even allow you to boot from the CD-ROM if you hold down?
Yeah, I could do that.
And then see if you can see if it thinks that the OS, that the OS is correctly installed on your machine, possibly doing a reinstall of OS 10.3,
okay,
whatever it is, on the machine, will reset whatever your particular problems are. That's the first thing I would try.
Okay. The other question is, on System 9 and below, you could always disengage some of the extensions. Do you know, can you do that on System 10?
I suspect you can, but I can't tell you off the top of my head how to do it. Once you've got it up and running, look in the Mac help about extensions. Extensions are handled differently, of course, under OS X than they were under 9, but I believe you can still control what gets started when you're bringing up the Mac.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help.
Uh-huh.
Next, we talk with a listener on line 2. Hi.
Yeah, I just had a quick question, I think. I've got a text document on my computer that under Windows Explorer, it shows up as being 8 kilobytes, but I can't get rid of it. And apparently it had something to do with when I wrote the name of the file, it included some foreign letters. And so every time I go to delete it, it keeps saying it can't find the file, even though it shows up under Windows Explorer. So if that's clear.
Yeah, so you're seeing it in Windows Explorer. It shows it's got some length.
Right.
But if you try to do anything with it, like right-click and rename it, it says it can't
find
it. If you try to drag it from one place to another, it says it can't find it.
Right.
It simply can't find the thing.
Exactly. It's just annoying.
Because, it shouldn't really be there. Now, the interesting thing is the file may not actually be there. It may be that the directory structure is just slightly corrupted and it's pointing at a non-existent file or a place where the file is not located. What you can – let's see if I have any suggestions.
I tried to go into DOS and use – delete command, but that didn't work either.
Still simply couldn't find it, right?
Right.
The old version of Norton Utilities used to be able to get right into that kind of thing and take a look at the directory entry. The new version, which has to be more compatible with the new Windows file systems, doesn't give us quite that degree of control, so I'm trying to think if there's anything. One of the things you might try doing is... running which version of Windows are you running?
95.
Okay. So we're a little bit older, but there is you could try. There are utilities available for Windows 95 that could you could try defragmenting your hard drive, which is something good to do anyway, especially if you've got an older machine. That simply means rewrite all the files and get them so that instead of being broken into multiple parts, the various parts are all together. And during that process, it might well be able to clean that particular problem up. And the other, let's see if I can remember. Boy, it's been so long since I've dealt with DOS that I'm having a little bit of trouble remembering exactly what the command I want, but it is a... it's definitely not that. I'll need to do a little bit of research on this, I think, but there is a command... Oh, there it is. Try under DOS doing chkdsk, check disk, which is going to essentially look at, it's just the command chkdsk. It won't do anything the first time you run it. It's just going to see if you've got any real problems. It may or may not find a problem with that. It may also find, it may tell you that it finds lots of lost clusters. Those are little bits of the disk that are reported as being used, but no file claims it. And you can actually then fix those, if you wish, by typing the same command in DOS again, chkdsk, but including a slash F after it.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
And see if you can find it. And that may help. But other than that, you may need a third-party utility to figure that out, or else just live with that thing being there and say, yeah, you know, we don't really care.
Well, I was just afraid, since it says it has size, that maybe it's some sort of virus or something.
Well, conceivably, although even a virus is going to have to be able to get to its files, so I don't quite know what's going on. But certainly make sure you've run your virus protection, virus software, and do that as well.
Okay, thanks.
But the chkdsk, it's a DOS command, and just by itself, it won't do anything to the disk, so it's totally safe to use. The version that does something is chkdsk and then a space and a slash f, and that actually fixes the errors, but I would run it first without the slash f to see what it thinks it needs to fix.
Will do.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, good luck. And our last caller this morning is, or this afternoon, excuse me, is on line 4, the toll-free line. Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure can.
Your voice just went down for some reason, but that's okay. I have several questions, but we'll go as far as we can time-wise. Number one, since you're talking about running the antivirus.
Yes.
If I run the full scan, does it include everything that's in my Outlook Express?
It should by default. You can tell antivirus programs that you want to exclude certain areas, but as they're installed, the only areas that antivirus programs exclude are their own virus definition files, because there they would find.
Okay, so actually, full scan actually covers everything on the hard drive.
Everything on that hard drive, yes.
Okay, that actually I want it, because if most of my the viruses I get are through email so far.
Sure.
So I just want to make sure.
Actually, if your virus protection software is installed properly and is set up properly, it should, when those, and is kept updated, when you get those emails, those antivirus programs should pop up right there and saying, I just deleted this virus attachment that was attached to your email.
Right, yeah. Sometimes they'll do that and forward the email or you know, let it cross, and sometimes they'll put it in quarantine.
Yes, that's
so
fine.
Yeah, which is, yeah, great. Well, that's great.
Just make sure you keep your virus definitions updated.
Yeah, see, I think I have the newer one where it updates automatically.
That's good.
Does that sound realistic?
Yes, that sounds very realistic. The only thing that will happen is in about a year, that subscription will have to be renewed for about $20, and
yeah,
it's well worth doing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do that regularly, especially since I've gotten so much stuff. And thank God, so far, knock on wood, I haven't been, my computer hasn't been crashed because of it. So something strange is happening last couple days or last 2-3 days, and I have no idea why. Except I did do an update from, you know, like you said, from Microsoft. And now when they show up, I just do it. I don't think I'll do it, you know, in a week, and it's a month later before I get to it or two. Just a little tab at the bottom. It says, you know how you open up and it'll say you have your Outlook open or your little tab?
Yes, over there by the clock.
Yeah, at the bottom, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is at the bottom. That's what I chose. I'll either have a blank tab or I'll say a screen. And I don't. It'll say screensaver, and I have no idea why it's showing up. I have no idea where it's coming from, because I don't have a screensaver. I just go straight to the desktop.
Well, you may have a screensaver. There's a screensaver built into Windows,
okay.
Although why that would be showing up. What happens if you right-click on it and try clicking on it, see if it brings anything up, or right-clicking on it and seeing if, you know, it gives
okay.
you any other options.
Okay, I want to look at right-click. I think every time I left-click, it disappears.
Okay.
Okay.
And it just may be something that's starting up. It's done its job, and for whatever reason, it's not clearing away its little button down there.
Okay, all right. You were talking about the SpyBot and AdAware.
Yes.
And how do you spell the word AdAware? Or would you go ahead?
It's AdAware, AdAware, but the easiest way to get to it would be to go to WILL.UIUC.edu, click on the Afternoon Magazine section, and there should be a list there to a page that has the actual official link to the official AdAware site.
Okay. Yeah, And he said slash safety, or do you...
Well, if you just go to the WILL site, you'll have a link to it directly. So you just go to WILLUIUC.edu, click on the Afternoon Magazine link, and somewhere there will be a link that will take it to the page. The page that I created has that slash safety, but now that it's connected to the WILL site, you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. The question about the spy bot, Attaway, I've heard about it so much, but I am too afraid to put it on because I'm wondering if it... I don't know how long it'll take me to learn what to screen out, what to screen in, and I'm afraid it'll screen out too many things.
All that those are going to do is simply list the things it's already found, and it gives a pretty good description.
Okay.
So you're in pretty good shape.
It's pretty easy,
and you don't have to do anything with it if you just run it and it's too overwhelming. Just have a friend come over and take a look at it.
Okay. All right. I'm not lucky enough to have too many friends who are close by.
Even if you put two heads together.
Right. Okay, yeah. Or I can call you the next time you're on, right?
Yes. We're on once a month.
Okay.
All right. Are you out of time?
Yeah,
I'm afraid we are.
Okay, that's okay. That's all right. Thank you very much.
Okay, good luck. And thanks to everyone who called this afternoon. Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Peter Kimball is Education Program Coordinator and Lead Faculty Trainer for the University's Technology Consortium, FAST 3, here at the University of Illinois. I'm Celeste Quinn. This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's 8 minutes before 2 o'clock, and Todd Gleason is standing by with settlement prices from the Chicago Board of Trade. Todd?
Thanks much, Celeste. From the Chicago Board of Trade this afternoon, some interesting trade in the bean pit for the day. Futures there anywhere between 17.5 and 29.75 cents lower. Traders at the Chicago Board of Trade saying this is from a floor source. Look at yesterday's player sheet. Hold it up to the mirror. It's completely the other way around today. That, according to a Chicago floor source, said while he was comparing the list of the day's sellers to the list of the buyers seen in yesterday's trade. So an interesting day at the Board of Trade. Once again, the bean pit was sharply lower. In the wheat pit, futures were lower as well. The September contract, 344.5, the high for the day. The low at 332.5, a settlement price at 33.33 1/4. It was down 11.75 at the end of the trade. December futures, 357.5, the high, the low at 346, settled 346.5, down 11.25. In March wheat, 367.5 on the high side, the low at 356, settled 357.5. They were 10.5 cents lower. May contract in the corn pit, 365, the high, the low at 360, settled 360.5, down 11 cents. In July futures, 362, the high, the low at 355, settlement price at 355.5, and they were down 7.5 on the day. September corn now 246.5, the high, the low at 242, settled 242.5, down 4 cents for the day. December corn, 253, the high, the low at 249.75, settled 250.25, down 3.75. In the March contract in the corn pit, 261.25, the high, the low at 257.5, settlement price there at 258. That finished the day down 3.5 cents. May futures for the corn, 266.25, high, low at 263.25, settled at 263.25, down 4 cents. And July futures, 269.5, the high, the low at 266.75, settled at 267, that down 3.5 cents for the day. September contract for 2005, 267, the high, low at 263.25, settled on that low, down 4.25. And December 2005 corn, this is next year's, 263, the high, the low at 260, settlement price for a year out, 260.25, down 3 cents for the day. July futures in the corn pit, 277.75, the high, the low at 270, settled at 270, down 2. September oats now, 139.75, the high, the low at 136.25, and settlement price at 136.75, down 3/4. In December, it's 146.5, the high, the low at 143.25, settled 143.75, unchanged for the day. From the soy complex, beans were sharply lower on the day. August soybeans, 778, the high, low at 750, settlement price at 751, down 29.75. That August contract, by the way, is now the lead option after the expiration of the July yesterday at noon. September beans, 680, the high, low at 660. Settled 2 cents above that at 662, down 19.5. In the November future, 667, the high, the low at 644. A settlement price there at 645.5, down 22.75. January soybeans, 670, the high, the low at 650. Settled on that low, down 22 cents. In the March future, 672, the high, low at 654. Settled 655, down 19 cents. May contract in the bean pit, 667, the high, the low at 650, settled 651.5, 17.5 lower. And the May futures for 2005 were 17.5 cents lower as well. 667, the high, the low at 650, settled 651.5. That May bean contract down 17.5 at the end of the day. August bean meal, 267 the high, the low 253.50, settled 254.30, down 14.70. And the September meal, 237.50, the high, the low 227.50, settled on that low, down 11.50 for the day. The August bean oil, 26.67 for the high, the low at 26.30, settlement price at 26.43 unchanged. And the September oil, 25.80, the high, the low at 25.40, settled 25.53, and they finished the day down 14. Now here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Celeste?
Thank you, Todd. Prices tumbled today on the Merc. August feeder cattle, 111.42.5, the high 108.62.5, the low. The settlement, 108.62.5, going down, limit down, down $3. September feeder cattle, 110.25 the high, 107.50 the low, 107.50 the settlement, that down the limit. October feeder cattle, 107.60 the high, 105.30 the low, 105.35 the settlement, that down 247.5. July live cattle, 82.50 the high, 82 even the low, and the settlement, that down 250. August live cattle, 84.35 the high, 82.65 the low, finishing at 82.77.5, down 165. October live cattle, 87.15 the high, 85.20 the low, 85.55 the settlement, that down 172.5. July lean hog, 79.60 the high, 79.10 the low, 79.55 the settlement, that up 12.5. August lean hog, 75.25 the high, 73.65 the low, and the settlement, that down $2. October lean hogs, 66.90 the high, 65.35 the low, and settlement, that down $2. December lean hogs, 62.60 the high, 60.80 the low, 61.30 the settlement, that down 147.5. And July bellies, 114.60 the high, 112.75 the low, the settlement 113.85, that down 110. The Dow down 8 points at 10,201, the NASDAQ up 6 at 1921, and the S&P 500 is off a fraction at 1111.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Devro TPAC in Danville, Dick's Pharmacy, Arthur, EAGCO Incorporated, Fairmont, and Citizen Sandwich and Convenience, Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Susie Kanich from Cottage Grove, Oregon writes to ask, "Dear Dr. Science, do snakes get poison oak? If so, how do they scratch it?"
Snakes are actually weasels that have lost all their fur, arms, and legs to intense poison oak rashes. Science knows this because snakes and poison oak both evolved at the same time, which was roughly concurrent with the disappearance of the dinosaurs. In fact, one theory has it that poison oak was fatal to dinosaurs. Another holds that dinosaurs were grossed out by hairless weasel torsos and simply lost the will to live. Personally, I favor the latter theory because it's a prime example of the pot calling the kettle black. To my way of thinking, dinosaurs, like all reptiles, are vile, disgusting things for whom extinction came as a gift. Wish the same had happened to snakes and poison oak, for that matter.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a